Good morning. Good morning. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. And now it's Monday, my favorite day because I'm back. I don't like the weekends because I don't get the opportunity to be here. And but I do get the opportunity to recharge my batteries, watch some sports, think about life, and plan for a week of great shows. So here we are. Today is the birthday, 250th birthday of the U.S. Marine Corps. Happy birthday, Marines. Throughout the program today, we'll be visited by various members of the Marine Corps, bipartisan. Dan LeBlanc, our own. He lives in Freetown, grew up in New Bedford. Gave an arm on the battlefield in Vietnam as a member of the Marine Corps. He'll be here at 11 o'clock. He wrote a very important book. Whether you're in the Marines, in the service at all, or just recovering from illness, it's an important book to read so that you prepare your mind for inevitable battles, whether you're ever serving the Marines, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, or you're just a civilian. You will have downturns in life, and Dan's book is a hell of a handbook for recovery and to keep your mind right when you're in that. Believe me, I'm telling you something I learned from that book that help keep me alive. So I'm telling you, and Dan will be here in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll be joined by Brian Shortsleeve, who's running for governor, who's in the Marines. We'll be joined by Congressman Seth Moulton, who's a Democrat, obviously, and seeking your vote for the U.S. Senate. He's a legitimate war hero, fought tours in Iraq as a Marine officer, infantry officer. Today's the 250th anniversary, the birthday of the Marine Corps. So happy birthday, Marines. It's kind of open phones. The other thing I want to talk about is building of schools, the building of new schools. Votes are being taken on the building of new schools. Do you have an opinion on that? Friend of mine reached out to me. A couple of people actually have reached out to me who listen to the program, and they are concerned about the building of a new Old Colony vocational school, whether that's something that they want to do, how it's being done. I know that Mass Fiscal Alliance has put out a video on that. I've had calls from people in the audience who are concerned with the green energy mandates of Mara Healey and the supermajority Democrats in the House and the Senate on public construction that's going to significantly increase the costs of the Old Colony, but also all the other schools that are in the School Building Assistance Fund. So that's on the table. And then anything else that you've got on your mind, 508-996-0500. Acushnet is going to have to vote on the new Old Colony. But also, the school committee in Acushnet is going to vote on where they're going to send their kids going forward. Are they going to go to Fairhaven? They're going to go to Opponequit. The high school kids, right? When the eighth graders have to make a decision, are they going to Old Colony? Are they going to go to Bristol Aggie? Are they going to go to Fairhaven? New Bedford? There's a whole lot of questions out there. If you're involved in this, if you're a parent in Acushnet, if you're a voter in any of the towns that are in the Old Colony District, I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to hear from you at 508-996-0500. Throughout the program, we'll be hearing from Marines who served honorably their country. Here on the 250th birthday of the Marine Corps. Happy birthday, Marines. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back. Kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it, stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. Happy Monday morning. It's cold out there. It's going to only get colder. Time to winterize your car. Do that at Mack Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street in the great city of New Bedford. This family-owned business repairs and all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming cold weather, and I'm sure you do, call and make an appointment today. Mack Auto Sales, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5 for your convenience. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. By the way, mention WBSM. You get 10% off your bill at Mack Auto Sales. So, Acushnet, what are you going to do? Here's the thing. A longtime listener, friend of mine, reached out to me about this top topic. The school committee in Acushnet is going to be voting on where they're going to send the eighth graders to high school. Now, since like the beginning of the century, the beginning of the last century, 1906, kids from Acushnet have gone to Fairhaven. Now, Fairhaven, this is important to us in the sense that it's a lot of money. A lot of money comes in to the operating budget, and I would assume the capital budget, from the families, the taxpayers of Acushnet to pay for those children. And hopefully that relationship will continue. But it's an important decision. Think about it. Many people buy their homes based on the education that's available to their children. So, and I know the members of the Acushnet School Committee take this decision very seriously, obviously. But you as the residents, the taxpayers, the parents in Acushnet, if you're not already involved, you need to get involved. You need to learn about this and need to help guide your school committee to make the right decision. And the right decision is for you individually, right? I don't know what that is, but you know. You know what's best for your children. So get involved. Reach out to the Board of Selectmen. Reach out to the school committee. Find out what is at stake, what the options are, and help guide your elected officials. Remember, elected officials, when they get elected, are not then, therefore, given all the information. They don't have all the right decisions in their head. They need guidance from their constituents. So, don't hesitate to learn about issues. You moms, you dads, you taxpayers. And help your elected officials make the right decision on this school issue. Now, also the building of a secondary Old Colony. Personally, I think we need more vocational education on the South Coast. No doubt about it. However, we need to understand what we're getting into. What are the true costs? The operating costs? All of that is very, very important. So hopefully some of you who are interested in this matter will give me a call, 508-996-05. Do we need an additional Old Colony? Are the building plans the most cost efficient? Or is there some Green New Deal foolishness in those building plans, right? Are we going to pay more for Green New Deal socialism type energy projects built in, mandated into the construction? Is that the best way to go? I doubt it. I really do. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of discussions about this as we move forward here on the program. We had the city council president in. Always an interesting hour. I think Tim does a great job bringing the city council president in. Boy, he took a real fall in this last election. While being reelected, that's no trick, right? I mean, all incumbents generally get reelected in the city of New Bedford. I mean, it's a name ID contest, and generally speaking, 80% of the population ignores the election. So if you can just get the majority of 20% of the people to show up to vote for you, and most of those people have already voted for you, it's really no trick to get reelected. The trick is to be the top vote getter in the at-large race. And Shane Burgo, who was always pretty close to being the top vote getter, has fallen all the way to third. So I think that really, and he got surpassed by somebody he was running with as a team. Rapid James Roy, the stock car boy. He surpassed someone who wanted to be his mentor, Shane Burgo, to come in the second place behind Ian Abreu, who really distanced himself from the whole crowd. So Shane Burgo dropped all the way to third behind a brand new guy, James Roy, and obviously way behind Ian Abreu. So Shane Burgo really got hurt in the last election. Anyway, 508-996-0. Open phones. If it's on your mind, you want to talk about it, I want to hear about it. Here we go. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning. Hi, Chris. Hello. I'm a parent in a Christian. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Chris. I'm a parent in a Christian. I'm also a fellow educator of over 25 years, and I'm speaking from educational experience and from an emotional standpoint. I'd like to comment on the issue with regard to the severance of the Fairhaven High School option for Christian students, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I think the primary concern of the people in Acushnet is not the thoroughness of the committee's review of the contract. I think it's the timeliness of it. I think these conversations, they knew this contract was coming to an end, and I think the research and conversations should have been done 2 to 3 years in advance, not 7 months before these kids have to transition to high schools. We're talking about a community and communities that together, collectively, have formed bonds emotionally, socially, academically. And I think it's not fair to put a price tag on the trajectory of their future. As a taxpayer in Acushnet and an educator who could very well choose to send my children to another district, I have chosen to have my kids educated in Acushnet with the opportunity to have the autonomy to go to Fairhaven, a relationship that has been withstanded over a century. I would greatly appreciate it if the stakeholders, the school committee members, and the superintendent, who I'd like to believe, and I do have a lot of respect for, has the student's best interests in mind. We've become educators because we care about kids. It's not about the almighty dollar, and I think it's about time that the voters in Acushnet realize that. Our mental health of our children is at stake. It is not fair at the 11th hour to make this decision, and they're relying on a survey? Come on. We have a school committee member that was voted on 28 votes. Give me a break. The survey is not going to be what is going to be withheld here, what's important. I believe we need to do what's right for our kids. Give them more time. Allow them to process this information. This is unjust, unfair, untimely, and it's about money. It is not about kids. And I'm sorry, this is very emotional for me.
No, I have a vested
interest on many levels.
I get it. I totally do. I appreciate your call. Let me ask you a question. Is there an opportunity to slow this down? Could someone table the vote? Is that a possibility?
Sure. I think we could table the vote. I think we could move forward with a cease and desist with more than a majority vote. I think there are options that at large, we could do something about it. But we need the community of Acushnet and Fairhaven to stand up for what's right for our children.
Yeah, I would say, too, that Fairhaven needs to think about this as well and maybe move to slow the vote down, if possible. Who over there would you say is an ally of your position on the school committee, if anybody?
I think Ron Hood would be our biggest ally. He has a vested interest. He has a daughter who's in eighth grade who as a parent and a community member, this is a big deal for their family, and I know he's voiced his concerns about the untimeliness of this decision.
This relationship, my understanding, goes back to 1906 or somewhere there.
Yes, long before all of us.
Yes, yes,
for sure.
That means my aunts went to school with kids from Acushnet because they grew up in Fairhaven, and they're long since passed. No, I think it's an important bond. And tell me this, why have they waited till this, what seems to be the 11th hour? Can you explain that to me? Do you know?
I don't know factually. I would assume that this is by design, that they were hoping that this decision would slip through the cracks of the townspeople of Acushnet, and that they would be able to move forward seamlessly without any hesitation, without any fight back from the community. Because historically, Acushnet voters don't show up. There was a big issue with the teacher contract, and again, it wasn't until at the very end that we stood up for the rights and the community and what was best for students. And I think at this point, we need to do the same thing. We need to stand together and we need to do what's best for children. It's always been, and it continues to be, about the dollar. And I think that's horrific and it's unjust.
I appreciate you calling. Let me ask you a question. Where will the kids end up going if they separate from Fairhaven? What are the options?
So the options, to my knowledge, the options are that there are other schools who have posed vested interest in obtaining Acushnet's tuition contracts. Mm-hmm. It seems that ORR, which has been a school choice option, has posed the opportunity to take on the Acushnet students, which, by the way, historically has not been a successful relationship. I personally know firsthand students to which have attended ORR and were not welcomed by the community and have had to transition from that school back to Fairhaven or Old Colony because the relationships were, they were just
toxic. Is
not
that the
welcomed.
Word?
It was toxic.
There were mean girls. There were mean boys there.
There were. And, you know, again, we are outsiders coming in, and that's why maintaining this relationship with Fairhaven is so important. But with that being said, New Bedford is still on the table. Opponequit is on the table. ORR is on the table. So there are other options. However, all of those options would be new and non-existing relationships.
Right.
Remember, Chris, we've established a community allegiance with Fairhaven. We have sports with Fairhaven. We have their soccer. We have football. We have baseball. It's the Acushnet Fairhaven Youth Association.
Right.
We have joined together for everything else. And now when they get to high school, we sever these ties. It makes absolute no sense to me at all whatsoever.
No, I think you're a great spokesperson for your issue. So you believe that Ron Hood is an ally of your position on the school committee?
I truly do. He has a vested interest. And so therefore, you know, I think it's important for him. And I think he believes that this is also the wrong decision to sever the tie with Fairhaven.
Thank you so much for the call. Don't be a stranger. Please call back. We're going to stay on this issue.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye. All right. There's a mom from Acushnet calling in. Guys, again, it's kind of open phones, but I do find this topic really, really important. And again, it's the 250th anniversary in the Marine Corps. We'll have various members of the Marine Corps calling in throughout the program and even coming to visit. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Listening to the conversation and with the background in education, 23 years in a high school and an equal number of years at the college. Leave it alone. It's been working out well. Prove why I went wrong. Surveys are made to say what the person that writes them wants it to say.
Yes.
That's always been my belief, and it's always true. When you read a survey, no matter how complicated or how simple, it's already written so that it can direct you towards a certain area. Forget surveys. Talk to the students. Talk to the parents. Make the correct decision. I did not go to Fairhaven. I live in Fairhaven. I've been there 65, 70 years, okay? And I didn't go there. I went to New Bedford vote. But all of us in Fairhaven realize that those people that did go to Fairhaven High from Acushnet and Fairhaven, they did well. They worked well and they lived well. Leave well enough alone and let's stop playing these silly political games.
Thank you for the call, my friend. That phone was kind of breaking up. But his premise is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? And we hear that a lot. And that's often true. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-05.
Welcome back to the program. I want to say happy birthday to Heidi Stapleton from the Profile Tavern out in Freetown. She's my waitress the other day. Happy birthday, Heidi. So the debate out there in Acushnet is going on. Of course, also there's going to be a vote on building a new old colony coming up as well. So I've heard a number of people talking about the old colony, build the vote, and questioning whether you need all that Green New Deal requirements in the building that's driving the costs up. So I would hate to see that future students are denied vocational education because the Democrats want to force their green agenda on the taxpayers. That would be really, really outrageous and detrimental to the future. Really would. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back. We'll be joined here on the birthday of the Marine Corps by Congressman Seth Moulton, a legitimate war hero, member of the Marine Corps. We'll be right back. Stick around. If you're driving around, make sure you know how to contact South Coast Towing. You, your family members, certainly your children and your spouse, know how to contact South Coast Towing. South Coast Towing, that's how I got here today. South Coast Towing, they had a great team of people over there, all put under the helm, all founded by Chris Medeiros, man of the year of the great Prince Henry Society. You know, I think I'm getting a call.
Hey, this is Seth Moulton calling.
Yeah. You need to call me on the VIP number I gave you, staff.
If we tried it, it didn't work.
Okay, try it again. It should. Maybe we're out. Let me find out. So, guys, with Seth Moulton, we may be not able to get on the VIP line. So let me text him a better number, because we've been getting other phone numbers, other phone calls. Let me see if I can text him. Let me, guys, I'm trying to do this here on the air. 508-996-0500. I'm going to have the congressman call in on the regular line that everybody else calls in on. Hopefully that line will work. Apparently the VIP line is down. That's going to lead to additional problems throughout the day for everybody here. But because I was getting calls on the regular line in here to the program, and so I believe the congressman will be able to call in on that line, because apparently the VIP line is not working. I know Tim had that problem as well this morning. And again, it's the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps, the birthday of the Marine Corps. And that's a big deal for all of us, but particularly if you're a member of the Marine Corps. Now, Seth Moulton, congressman from the North Shore, running for the U.S. Senate, not only a member of the Marine Corps, but did 4 tours in combat in Iraq. And if you've never looked up Seth Moulton, you ought to, because he's looking for your vote. I don't know if it matters to you, but it matters to me. He's a legitimate war hero. Now, I have my disagreements with the congressman on policy issues, but that's America. We're entitled to do that. But he is a legitimate war hero. And we'll see if that matters in the Democrat Party. All right. Now, I believe we're joined by Congressman Seth Moulton. Good morning, Congressman. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Chris. Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be back.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry for the... We've had some technical difficulties. That's why the VIP line isn't working. But we're over that now. So, Congressman, here on the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps, talk about what the service in the Marines meant to you and why it'll make you a better U.S. senator than your opponent.
Look, it meant the world to me. It changed my life because it gave me an opportunity to truly give back and, you know, maybe the best way possible to this country that I love so dearly. And I think the best part of it was getting to serve with some of the most amazing Americans that I've ever met. You know, kids from all over the world, and really most of them kids. I mean, these are 18, 19-year-olds, you know, a few in their early 20s, maybe one or two in their mid-20s in my platoon of a few dozen. In fact, the morning we left to invade Iraq, for that very first day, I woke up. Of course, it was the middle of the night. That's the way these things always go, just like in the movies. They wake us up and they said, hey, we're going to move out. And so get your Marines up and get ready to head towards the border. And as I was walking out of my company commander's tent, he said, oh, Lieutenant Moulton, hold on one more thing. I turned around and he said, these two are with you. And he assigned 2 17-year-old Marines who had just come out of boot camp and flown straight to Kuwait to my platoon on the day of the invasion. We don't remember often just how young these real heroes are who serve our country, who put their lives on the line so the rest of us back home don't have to. And it was the honor of my life to get to serve with them.
We're speaking with Congressman Seth Moulton. Of course, he spent a lot of time in the Marines as an officer. And Seth, how did serving in combat, how will that influence you? To some degree, we still pay attention to the fact that Congress declares war and all of that. Talk about that, Congressman.
Well, you're right, Chris, that is the constitutional responsibility of Congress to decide when we go to war or not. Not, you know, just the president to decide he's going to send a whole bunch of troops to invade Venezuela on a whim or whatever. And by the way, both presidents on both sides, I should say presidents on both sides of the aisle have abused this authority rather than have Congress step up and do its job. So there are really important policy reasons why having a military background is important. It's important to have those perspectives in Congress. In fact, veterans in Congress are less likely to vote to send us to war because we know the consequences.
Right.
We know what it means to be on the front lines. But there's something more. A lot of people ask me all the time, Steph, like, why is Congress so stupid? I mean, how can you guys not believe in basic facts? I mean, you can imagine getting this question, right?
Right.
And the honest answer is that most people I serve with are pretty smart. I mean, there are some notable exceptions, but most of them are pretty smart. What's lacking in Congress isn't intelligence, it's courage. It's the courage to just do the right thing, to take the tough vote, to vote in what you believe is right, as opposed to what the party is telling you to do. And when you have some time in the institution like the Marine Corps, where you've seen real courage with fellow Americans, I think it puts that all in perspective. It makes it easier to show some courage in a place like Congress.
We have Seth Moulton here. He's running for the U.S. Senate. He's looking for your vote in the Democrat primary coming up against Ed Markey. We assume Ed Markey. So, Congressman, some Marines, I think of Fairhaven's own Matthew Rodriguez, they gave all. You know Marines who gave all. Take a moment to reflect on those men and women.
I mean, they're just the ultimate American heroes. And, you know, they gave all so selflessly. Not always, by the way, in, you know, the glory of World War II or something like that, right? I mean, it's sort of easy to celebrate the heroes of wars that we love. I think it's harder for Americans to celebrate the heroes of wars that we didn't love. You know, Marines who died in Vietnam, or even Marines who died in Iraq and Afghanistan, two wars that many people look on as mistakes or failures. But that's not the mindset of those who serve. One of the toughest questions I've ever gotten in my life was young Marines looking up at me and saying, "Sir, why are we here? Why are we risking our lives for this?" And honestly, sometimes the best answer was simply so that no one else has to.
Right.
So that your friend back home doesn't have to be here in the mud tonight. And we all took pride in that. We all took pride in doing the right thing so that others didn't have to, and being willing to make that sacrifice so others didn't have to. And I think it's important to remember just the level of selflessness. They didn't expect to be heroes. They were just doing their job. That humble selflessness that so many Marines and soldiers and airmen and sailors and guardsmen take to the fight every day.
Congressman Seth Moulton, as I said, he's running for the U.S. Senate. Seth, I have to pivot here. What are the issues that matter to you? And let me ask you this. Where would you have been if you had been in the U.S. Senate on making a compromise like, say, Maggie Hassan just did from New Hampshire, as opposed to Ed Markey, who voted against making a compromise? Where would you have been had you been in the U.S. Senate, Seth?
Well, look, here's the thing. It's always important to be willing to make compromises, but I don't quite understand this compromise that was just made, because Democrats were fighting for a month here to lower health care costs, to lower health care costs for everybody, not just for Democrats, not just for blue states. You know, Trump likes to do things only for red states or only attack blue states. Senate Democrats were trying to do this for everybody in America, even Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of the most conservative Republicans I've ever met in my life. Said she was with the Democrats on this because her own family couldn't afford health care. And now they've given in on a compromise that doesn't actually reduce health care costs. So people are still going to see their health care premiums skyrocket. And that's just not the right thing, in my opinion, for our constituents. But I'll tell you one thing. I have made a promise that I will not vote for Chuck Schumer because I don't think he's handled this negotiation or the last negotiation that well. I don't think we've gotten what the American people deserve. And that's a big difference between myself and Senator Markey. He's going to support the establishment, the status quo. I'm against it.
Do you have a senator that you think you would vote for? Is it too early yet, Congressman?
You know, I have a couple in mind, but I think it's too early to say because, you know, I would want to talk with them about what their actual vision is for leading our party in the Senate. And right now I'm not focused on talking to senators. I'm talking to the people of Massachusetts. I've been all over the state in the last few weeks, and as I roll out this campaign, going to all kinds of different, you know, Ipswich, Leominster, Devens, Concord, Cambridge, Burlington, Haverhill, Middleborough, Fall River, Bedford, New Bedford, Danvers, on and on. And you know, that's just a portion of the state that I've been to so far in the first 3 weeks. So I'm out there listening, hearing the needs of Massachusetts voters. And I'll tell you, Chris, one of the things I hear a lot is that health care is too expensive.
Yeah, we hear that here all the time. Seth Moulton, when you were in New Bedford the other day at the Honeydew Donuts, you stopped by, you met my audience, you met a number of people, Dan LeBlanc, who will be my guest later, another Marine like you. But you drew a number of city councilors, Sean Oliver, Leo Choquette, Ian Abreu, to come out and meet you. That was a good showing you drew.
Well, I think people recognize that we need a change. The status quo is not getting it done. People are frustrated, and they want to see a new generation of leaders in our politics in many ways, you know, across the country. I mean, you know, look at how old the president is. Look at how old President Biden was. You know, for Democrats, we got to learn the lessons of Dianne Feinstein and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and pass the torch to a new generation of leaders who are stepping up.